I don't know what your police captain told you about me, but I'm a different breed of
podcast.
I'm from the streets, and I'm the last
podcast.
All right, welcome back, listeners, to the last podcast. Last time we had with us Jacob Kaye, and this time we have with us
Ku Ijinti, your favorite African.
Ijinti, our favorite African. Ku, what was your last show?
My last stand-up show was last night at the Secret Group. They have a show called Trash Flavor Trash.
Yeah. You know?
And I did that. The crowd was amazing. Usually the crowd is usually trashed and shitty. But no, last night was pretty dope.
Because $2 Tuesdays for Wells, right? Are they still doing that?
It's actually $1 Wells, actually.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, so you get to see a lot of crazies. But yeah, last night was great. We had maybe 30 people there, but they all wanted to hear comedy. So the energy was just... You know it's a good crowd, and the crowd laughs at your setup. So when they start laughing at your setup, you know, okay, this is going to be a good show. So the show was great. It was energy was great. Loved it.
Good.
Wish I could have done an hour.
Right. How was your last online show?
My last online show was yesterday again. I interviewed Coco Brown. She's a phenomenal headliner. She traveled all over the country. She's an actress and writer. She's been on multiple shows with Tyler Perry. She has a show that's actually coming out on Netflix. I forgot the name, but it's coming out soon. She's just doing a filming for that. And she has a recurring character on 911 Fox.
Oh, legit.
So yeah, Coco Brown, phenomenal comedian, but she's great. Great.
When was the last time, because now you're getting pretty big, you're doing some pretty big acts, getting some pretty big people on. When was the last time that you were just, like, starstruck, that someone's like...
I think I was starstruck when Linnell said she wanted to do my show.
Right, yeah.
When Linnell said she wanted to do my show, that was big for me, because, again, it's funny, because I interviewed Coco Brown on my other show called Comics Talking Shit, and Linnell was watching that show, and she liked how the format of the show went. And so right after taping, she was like, hey, guess who liked the show? I was like, who? She goes, Linnell. I said, Linnell liked my show? She's like, yes. I said, actually, will she do my show? She goes, I'll text her right now. She texted her right there. And she said, yeah, tell me, hit me up on IG. Legit. I hit her up on IG, and she was like, hey, here's my publicist. Go to my publicist. Went to the publicist. The rest is history. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest guest that I've had on my show. Her or Paul Rodriguez.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, I remember that too.
For sure, that was crazy.
You know? I didn't know you were still doing Comics Talking Shit, because I thought once
no,
you
I killed
changed...
that.
Okay.
No. Comics Talking Shit was the
original.
The original standard remote.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to scratch it because of the name. It's called Comics Talking Shit. Yeah. You can't market that, so yeah. I just like, let's go with something that's very inclusive, and we went with standard remote.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did a vote on Facebook, and that got the most votes.
And it's nice. Y'all go a while. Y'all go like 4 hours or so.
No, God, no. We go. The most we've done is 3 hours and some change, but if we're doing like a special event, quote unquote. But for the most part, we are like 2 hours, 30 minutes.
And what was the idea behind like getting, I think you have like 6 or 7 guests?
Yeah, six panels, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I enjoy it though, because it like, you really get everyone's opinion on things.
For sure.
A good variety.
No, that's what makes it, that's why it flies by so fast, because I love when I get a comic to do it. They'll be like, 2 hours? I'm like... Yeah, but it flies so fast. You wouldn't even know because it's not only you talking. Because some comics, I realized when I started doing, it used to be just one comic. And I realized some comics are not big talkers.
Yeah.
So I said, what if I make it a panel show? And matter of fact, when the whole George Floyd situation happened, that forced me to turn it into a panel because I had like 3 comics on there. And I just didn't feel like being funny. I was like, I don't feel like being funny today. Mm-hmm. And I hit them up before the show starts. I said, hey guys, I don't feel like being funny. Do you guys feel like it'd be fun? They're like, not really. It's heavy on our heart right now. So we just sit there and just talked about just black race and what's happening in America and all that stuff. And I just started seeing how my choice show started evolving from just comics talking about comedy to us just start talking about everything. So that's
life. Yeah.
So George Floyd situation was a gift and a curse because it forced me to do everything outside of comedy. Because I wanted to just keep it just... me just talking to comics about comic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized, no, we could talk about everything. And that's what happened.
And it's going well.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well. It's November 3rd will make 2 years now, so yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. I guess so, that's right. Yeah, because you started like right before quarantine, or during quarantine.
Started May 2020.
Yeah.
And here's the funny part. This is how I started the whole podcasting. Andrew Youngblood, you know Youngblood. Andrew Youngblood, Dusty Rhodes, and a guy named Patrick McClellan. They hit me up and was like, hey, do you want to do our show right quick? And I was like, what show? Like, we just basically talk about movies and shit. I was like, all right, cool. It was like fucking 9 o'clock at night or whatever. So I decided to do it. And it was so much fun. We just rambling.
Yeah.
Late at night about movies and shit. We were drinking, rambling. And as soon as I got off line with them, a light bulb went off. And I was like, hey, I want to do a show like this. And that's how I started Comics Talking Shit. Off of that, doing that show with them. So, Andrew Youngblood is the reason why I have this show that I have now.
Legit. He gets mentioned a lot on the podcast. We were talking about him yesterday.
Really? Jacob, yeah. You need to have him now. Now you got
to
have him.
That's what I'm saying, because he's moving to L.A. And so
he's going to L.A. in May. He's moving in May.
I need to get him before then.
You got to get him before May, yeah. He's a great guy. He's an asshole, but he's a great guy.
You got any questions?
So you. Yeah, so you. Let's go with... So what did you do? What was your last show? What was your...
My last show was probably a few weeks ago. I'm still doing Comedy Sports Houston. I've been there 5 years.
Oh, you do improv?
Yeah. I've been doing improv 8 years. Longer if you include college, but I would say consistently 8 years.
Did they move it? Wasn't it right there by the Secret Group at one point?
It's still a Secret Group. Right down the street from...
Okay.
Yeah, East End.
Same owners or...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really nice place. Longest running comedy show in Houston. And so, they're still going strong.
They don't do stand-up there no more, though.
No. They would have Thursday shows sometimes, where they would invite stand-up comedians, or stand-up comedians could have their own shows. In fact, if anyone wanted to host, if any stand-ups listening now want to host a show, just reach out. You could probably host one on the other days. They're open, you know, like, they own the venue, and so, like...
So, what do most people can fit in that room, though? Because remember, it was not a big room.
It depends on the room you go to. There's Studio A, which, yeah, is kind of small. But then there's the actual, like, stage venue, which could hold a lot. Like, you could even record an album there, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd probably reach out to start to do something there. Because I like that room. They used to do open mics there back in the days. So.
Yeah.
And Radu actually was doing his show there.
Yeah, I think so.
The Filth show. He was doing it there. Then he moved into the Secret Group.
And it's like I said, it's a real nice venue. Things are improving over there in East End.
That's totally booming. Anyway, what was your last online show?
Last online show would have been like during quarantine. The Comedy Sports moved online and started doing
That doing improv online? That seems like it'd be tough.
It was different. There were some things that you couldn't do. Like, it was very hard to do long-form scenes because, like, you're not next to each other. You can't interact with each other. You can't, like, use your hands or use the stage, you know? And so it was mostly... Comedy Sports is mostly short form improv.
Right.
And so we would play like games, you know, like certain games that would just work better online. Like, there's a classic game, Sit, Stand, Lean, where like you're doing a scene and one person sitting, standing, or leaning. Well, they you basically.
You can't do that on fucking Zoom. That'd
be weird. Exactly. And so they changed it to near, far, I can't remember the name of it, but basically. One person would be on screen, one person would be super close to the screen, and then one person would be off screen. And so if someone else came on screen, then someone had to leave or someone had to get close. And so it's always rotating around.
Super awkward.
That was a lot of fun, though. I enjoyed that
Really?
One. Yeah. Some Comedy Sports locations are still doing online. I think Manchester still does a weekly online show.
So where did that originate? What did Comedy Sports, where did it first originate from? Was it Chicago? Or
I think it was from? Milwaukee, if Milwaukee? I'm recalling that correctly. And that was like a while ago. Comedy Sports Houston will be 32 this year.
32 years?
Wow. Yeah. But Milwaukee was even before that.
Because I know that's where Jason Sudeikis? Sudeikis?
Yeah, a lot of famous people.
He started
Comedy Sports.
Like Comedy Sports, yeah. They got a picture of him. He was on a talk show talking about it. Yeah,
it's legit. I really enjoy it, and it's like family too, which I really enjoy. Because I tried to get in the stand up scene around like 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
When I like first started.
I remember that. Yeah,
and it's just like I had all these jokes and everything, and I was ready to get going because I had been doing like small shows before. But standing and waiting for open mics for 5 hours a night just wasn't my gig. You know, it was like, you'd wait around, you'd get bumped all night, and then, like, you'd go on for 5 minutes. It's just like,
yeah,
I don't have time for that, you know?
It's torture, yeah. But you got to put your dues. You got
to pay your dues, Sean. You got to put in your suffering, you know? And so, like, I just kind of went on to stand up. I still write jokes, and I still have, like, sets, you know, so right. I'm ready to go back whenever, but...
Or you could just run your own open night, mic night there at Comedy Sports.
Yeah,
you
yeah. know?
Do something there, and it's your room, you can control it, you can do as much time as you want.
Exactly.
You know? That would work.
And so, it's kind of just up in the air. Again, like, I really enjoy improv, it's just a lot of fun.
Seemed like fun. I just can't do it because I'm a solo guy.
Oh, yeah?
I'm literally... I think I'm Harrison Ford. I think I'm Han Solo. I'm a solo act. I don't know why.
I think anyone could do improv. Well, no, that's.
I just don't want. No, you definitely take that back. I don't want the pressure of failing a group of people. I read if I'm going to fail, at least I failed disappointed
by yourself. Yes. I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
So you know Scott White then?
And Scott White was on the podcast.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. He actually has me on his quite a few times. I've been on his, I think, 5 times now.
Oh, cool. That motherfucker never asked me to be on his podcast. He done my show like a million times.
Reach out to him. He might have something for you.
I'm not going to ask if he doesn't ask.
Scott, if you're listening.
I have so much to go to. Hey, if you don't ask me to do it, I'm not doing it.
Scott, you hear that? You got to ask him.
If you ask me, yeah. But if you know, I could. I have many things to do, Scott. I don't have to be your podcast.
Before this, when was the last time you were on someone else's
podcast? What was the last podcast I did? I did a podcast called the Gossiping Heifers.
The Gossiping Heifers?
Yeah.
Like boss heifers? Like,
yeah, it's two sisters, and they're just basically, we're just talking about like current events and shit like that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so they call it the Gossiping Heifers. Yeah, it's Rochelle and Michelle, and they got a YouTube page and everything. Fun sisters. It was just fun because it was like me and... two other comedians, but the whole time they're hitting on one of the comedians, it was like, oh, great. At least I'm ugly. I don't get no love. They didn't even acknowledge me as a sexy guy. I was like, well, at least my girl does.
Hate it when that happens. You know?
He's like 6'11", so.
They're like a 4. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they lost their mind. They're like, oh, yeah, tall black man. I was like, because I'm 6'1". I'm usually like tallest person around a lot, but this guy was like, made me feel like a midget. I was like, I'm short. I have no love.
What was the last movie you saw?
Last movie? I love movies. The last movie I saw was... what did I just see? Yesterday I just saw... Good God.
Yeah, sometimes I forget too. It's like, I
watched so much movie, I forget what I saw last.
Yeah, same.
Can it be a movie or a documentary?
Either one, yeah.
Whatever Rick James documentary, first. I watched that.
The Rick James documentary?
Yeah, I saw it on Showtime called Super Freak.
Is that new?
Yeah. Came out in 2020 at least, yeah.
Check that out. I need to see that, and I need to see the Bill Cosby.
Oh, I just saw that too. How I saw that? The Bill Cosby one first, then I saw Rick James to make me happy again. Because the Bill Cosby was super heavy, so I just said, let me watch something that's going to just make me sleep better at night. So I watched the Rick James right after that. I think it's called Super Freak. Yeah, on Showtime. Super Freak.
I just watched, I have an anonymous movie review on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, almost 1,500 followers, but I watched Sing 2 last night, that animated movie.
Yeah, how is it with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, a lot of big-name actors, and then also Bono was one of the main characters, too.
I mean, it's clearly a cash grab, you know, right?
Yeah.
Because usually, most animes usually does well movie theater, because everybody can go see it.
Yeah. And they definitely used a few of his songs, too, in the movie.
Sweet.
But it was okay.
It was okay.
The first one was... It was very similar to the first one. This one's more like they're trying to put on this, like, grand show. You can definitely tell, like, they were reaching, in a way. Like, what's the storyline going to be? Oh, let's put on this Broadway-esque show, you know, and try to get a celebrity who no longer sings anymore. Like, we got to convince him to be in our show. And that's basically the whole movie.
Yeah, it was like a line or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw a little preview to it, yeah. I'm not seeing that because, no.
The animation was all right. I kind of, like, wish that it had been original music, but following the first movie, they used, like, they sing covers. Right. And so they just sang more covers in this one. But, like, I don't know, I guess it's more, I wonder what is more expensive, to write original songs or to use covers?
To write an original song, it would be less expensive because nobody ever heard the song.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay the royalties and stuff.
No, you wrote the song. It's your song. Yeah. They should, right? They should. I think it would be it took me way least expensive to write your own soundtrack to songs. You know, I was watching a documentary about the 70s disco era, and it's actually based on Saturday Night Fever, the movie. And the Bee Gees, Demi wrote them all the soundtrack for that album.
Yeah, yeah, it's I love that.
But here's the funny part: they didn't believe in the movie. They didn't think the movie was gonna be a hit.
Really?
So after when the movie became a hit, then they started seeing that royalty. So it even made the Bee Gees even more. Jeez. They were famous, but when that movie came out, they became global.
They became big. And like the songs they made for that movie are classic. Like that's some of their best work, really.
But they hated themselves. They didn't think it was gonna be a good song. They didn't want to put it on the album.
That's insane. What a world we live in. Because like, I don't know. Like sometimes it's like those songs that like you think, like even with my music, like I have a ton of music, like 76 albums, and so some of the songs like that do really well. When I'm like just like posting or advertising, or I see like results, they surprise me. It's like, wow, I never thought this song would do better than the ones that I really enjoy. Yeah. Like the ones that I'm like, oh man, listen to this song. But then it's like the song that like I don't really preach that people are like, oh, I really like this one. And it's like, what?
Yeah, that's how it is with comedy. Some jokes I hate, but some people love the jokes, so I keep doing it. But I don't like these jokes. I'm like, I'm so over these jokes, but I realize those are the shit that works. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? Yeah. So that's the formula I do. But some of these jokes I do, like the joke I posted online was a joke about my dead dog, Jimbo. I don't know if you saw that.
No, that was funny.
So I posted that joke, and my girlfriend loves that joke. She's like, babe, that joke is hilarious. I was like, ah, that joke is, I think it's kind of dark. She's like, no, it's, trust me, babe.
It's dark funny. Yeah.
It's funny. And I put it on there, and it had almost 600 likes on TikTok. And had over 100 likes on fucking IG, and had almost 60 likes on Facebook. So it's the most likes I've ever had for a joke ever. And I post on any social media.
I like that one.
So it's crazy.
Jimbo is dead. Go outside and play.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy to me that how that joke people resonate more with.
Oh, I just had one. When was the last time you bombed?
Bombed on stage? I rarely bomb. No, last time I think I bombed. I think the crowd might have liked me, but I think I bombed was maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Recently?
Yeah, recently, like a Thursday. I did a Thursday show at Dallas Hyenas Comedy Club, and
small crowd, big crowd.
Small crowd. It was like
small crowd.
It's like 25 people there, and I don't think I did well. I think everybody did well, but me. I went up last. And I don't think I did well. I think if I had to give myself a grade, maybe give myself like a D or something. Yeah. I don't think I did well.
You are the audience.
It's the audience for sure. The audience shitty. They didn't.
Not responsive.
Because I know the jokes work. They just wasn't feeling it.
That right there. It's always an energy.
I wasn't trying nothing new. I was trying shit that had already been proven. I even did some of the stuff with my comedy album, Catastrophe. But it still didn't work. So I just knew that, okay, this is not good. But again, it was a D.
Not too bad.
Yeah. That's and probably also, the last of my bomb.
I was discussing with some people recently. It's like bombing is like, it makes you stronger. You know what I mean? It's like,
for sure. I remember my worst sets than my good sets. Good sets is, I remember what Louis says. He said that he goes crazy when a comic posts on social media. Though, I killed. He's like, you're supposed to kill. That's your job.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to make people laugh.
Yeah.
So I remember that. I never forget that. So every time I post on my Facebook, I never say, oh, I killed, I destroyed. I go, hey, the crowd's amazing. Beautiful show. I always give it back to the crowd.
Yeah.
And if I bomb, I blame myself sometimes. I don't go on Facebook and go, man, the crowd sucked. I was amazing. No. Nobody cares. Cry me a river.
Yeah.
Just remember the bad stuff and make it better.
Yeah. Improve. Always be improving.
Yeah. What about you? When last time you bombed?
You know, really, if I, like, I don't think I've, quote unquote, bombed. There have been, like, for stand-up, at least, all the shows that I did went pretty well. There was only, like, one time where, like, at PJ's, there was, like, three people, and just no one was paying attention, you know? And so it was just, like, I guess that would be a bomb, you know? But really, like, as far as improv goes, I don't think that I've ever, like, bombed. You know, never had like a terrible set where it's like, oh, that was that was a bomb. And so I feel pretty lucky on that, that I've been fairly, it depends on what you think of as successful, you know? And so that is nice.
What you got?
What was, or no, let's go, who, what, when, where, why, how. How was the last, well, let's just do a simple, how was the last meal you ate?
The last meal I ate?
Yeah.
That was like literally 2 hours ago. It was wonderful. I'm actually getting to, I don't know, I'm trying to lose weight, so.
Same.
Yeah, so I'm trying to eat, if I'm eating pasta, I'm trying not to eat like regular pasta. I want to eat more veggie pastas. Mm-hmm. And veggie pastas are amazing. They're good. You know, it's
like cauliflower and stuff.
It's no, it's it's called something, but it's made out of carrots, tomatoes, wheat.
And those are things you usually put in pasta anyway. So
yeah. So good. I'm eating those kind of combinations, and I'm trying to do a little vegan too, vegan meat and stuff like that. I still eat turkey because I'm not a terrorist, but I still eat regular meat. But yeah, I try to get more health tips, and it's working, you know? I quit eating chicken, like,
yeah, I remember you
almost
saying.
8 months now, so.
Yeah. And it's in your album, too.
Yeah. So I have no sinus problems after that. It's
really? What?
Yeah. Chicken triggers my sinus. It's insane. Yeah. Oh. It's something they put in the food that.
Like preservatives or something?
Whatever they eat in, it doesn't agree with me, because I can eat chicken, eggs, with no problem. Interesting. But if I eat actual textured meat of chicken, I literally will be sneezing. It hits me always in the middle of the night. I can't breathe.
Interesting.
My shit flares up. Yeah.
Because, like, chicken is probably I rarely eat red meat. I'll have, like, a burger every once in a while. But chicken is what I eat. Like,
yeah, and if you have no allergic reaction, keep eating it.
But I don't know. I do occasionally have sinuses. No, I'm going to.
Yeah, go for a month to see what happens. Yeah. I eat turkey with no problem. Turkey, I have no problem with it. But there's just something about the chicken that does not agree with my sinus.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I probably, if somebody put chicken in my food, I'd probably have like a
flare-up.
Flare-up, and it'd probably be bad, yeah.
COVID chicken, bird flu.
Yeah. So yeah, it saved my life, man. I breathe better, I sleep better. I can actually think better. Yeah.
Right.
When your oxygen not going all the way to your brain.
Yeah.
It can kill you, you know? So I feel better now, you know?
Interesting.
Got to give me another second. What do you call that shit? Second try in life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to focus more on those things as you age.
Yeah, I'm 40, so. Older.
Yeah.
But people think I look younger, but I'm like, I'm old. I'm an old guy, 40.
Yeah, you look late 30s.
Yeah. I get like 33, 34. I don't get to 40 a lot. But yeah, I'm 40. Yeah.
I mean, you're right on the edge. Give it 5 years, and then people will be like, oh, you're 40.
But that'll be 45 then.
Yeah.
If I'm 45 then I look 40, that's fine.
Yeah.
So long as I look young.
When was the last time you went to Nigeria?
I went to Nigeria was to go bury my dad, and that was in 2000. And my dad's been gone for 8 years now, so. What is that?
2014.
I'm going to go bury my dad in October of 2014. Yeah.
Have you thought about that? Are you going to do the same?
What?
Where would you be buried?
Here. Yeah. I want my son to come see me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in Nigeria. All my families are, everything, all the people is important to me here. So
yeah.
It's pointless to be buried in Nigeria. So yeah, it'll be here. I'm more American than Nigeria now because I've lived here longer than Nigeria. So.
Yeah.
I've grown more friends.
24 years.
Yeah, I've grown more friends and fans than I would ever imagine here. So what would I be better than Nigeria? I'd rather do it here.
You're our favorite African.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm you guys' favorite African, so I'm pretty much... I say that. I think I say your favorite African just to keep me sane and remind me where my roots are from.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for me. Because I love how people say, hey, why you go by your favorite African? That's kind of arrogant and whatever, because you're not my favorite. I know people. It's white people, by the way.
Yeah.
It's never a black person that tells me. It's always a white person. Like, that's kind of arrogant that you go like your favorite. Like, hey, it's just my thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to be my favorite African if you don't want to. You don't have to. I'm not being your favorite African. You don't want it. It's fine. Oh, I have somebody go, you're not my favorite African. Charlize Theron is my favorite African. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, she's my favorite African too. We're crazy. It doesn't hurt me. You know, if you, it's whatever you want to do. Now, I'll get a white person go, I can't say that. I don't want to be racist. It's like, no, I gave you permission. You can say that.
White people, man.
They overthink this whole racist stuff. It kills me.
Stepping on bounds and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, dude, just, he's my favorite African. You have a favorite food.
Yeah.
You can have somebody that you like from another country that this is my favorite friend from India.
And it doesn't even have to be an absolute. Like, you could be one of our favorite Africans, you know? Like, you don't have to be the favorite African.
Whatever makes it, just, some people are just weird like that. But I love, I, that's why I'm a comic, because I love pushing the envelope. I love pushing the uncomfortability of stuff. I like to push that.
The joke that made me laugh hardest on your album was the intro, when you're like, where are the Africans? Where are all the Indian people? Where are the white people? Zip it! This ain't about... That made me laugh so hard, dude.
It's such a hacky joke that I do. I do it all the time.
That
so
was bad. Good.
Zip it. Enough for you.
Enough from you. We don't need that.
That was fun. The taping was amazing. I literally, the first 20 minutes, I was super nervous. I hope it didn't tell on
the album. You killed the first 20 minutes.
Thank you. I was really nervous because I didn't know how the crowd was going to respond to my stand-up, because I was trying something different. Some of the stuff I did, I've never opened with those. So I did kind of what Louis C.K. does. He takes his good jokes, all his good jokes, and opened up with those. Then goes back to the joke that's really not good and does that later on.
And kind of like a sandwich thing.
Yeah, so he does the weak jokes in the beginning and does all the good shit in the end. And I'm like, wow, I used to usually do all my good stuff in the beginning, and the weak stuff would be in the middle, or whatever. So my special I just did all the stuff that I'm not sure about, and I did that in the beginning, just to see how good those jokes are. But those jokes was like fucking hidden. Then the jokes that I know kills, because they were laughing so hard at the other jokes, I feel like they kind of ran out of juice to laugh at the other ones.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured that. But I did that recording. I did like an hour 20 on stage.
Nice.
So I got some audios that I didn't even, obviously, there's no video.
Yeah, they're about 20 minutes cut out. Wow. So did you cut any like jokes or like just like laughter?
I cut my family. I had to shish my family in the middle of the recording. Because they were just having a conversation. My sister, my brother, they were just having a...
During your album,
they were just having a fucking.
Oh my gosh.
But it's your family.
That's family for you.
They don't see you how you're fancy.
Yeah.
So they just sit in the front row talking about food, and I'm like, guys, I can hear you. Ship it. I can literally hear you guys talking. I shushed them. So yeah, I actually have a video of me shushing my family.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I should have put on it, but I just like, I ain't trying to embarrass them. But yeah, I do have the video. I need to chop it up and drop another joke soon.
Yeah, put it on the next album or something.
No, the shishing part? No. Just play it at a family function.
Oh, yeah,
it's
me
shishing you, doing my comedy recording album.
Have you thought about a third?
No, God, no. This was like literally a lot to do. It was highly stressful, but it was good stress.
Because the first one you did years ago.
The first one I did was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I did that at almost 5 years ago. April make 5 years. I did a Houston Improv, but I guerrilla style did that one. I did a Kuja to your friend.
I remember.
And I had people sell tickets, but they didn't know it was for a comedy album. I just had camera crew come and record the shit.
Not bad, though.
But still, I thought it was guerrilla marketing, you know. I used show that everybody was supposed to be on. That I go, oh yeah, this is my comedy recording thing. But this time around, it's like everybody knew
it was legit. Yeah,
they were paying in money. They knew what they were going to go see, and it was way over what I expected. We sold that sucker out. It was fucking beautiful, man. I am thankful to have people that fuck with me. I'm appreciative about that.
It's a different feeling. It really is.
What about you? What was your
my last album?
Your last album? Last album, and what you ate last?
Go. I ate a quesadilla last. I had to bring my car in today. My battery died last night, and so I came home and I was just like, I just want something quick. So I had a quesadilla. And my last album, music album, I put out was in November. That was my 76th album. That was Vibrations Between and Beyond, which I'm very proud of. So if anyone listening and yourself, I recommend that one.
76 album?
76 album.
So each album, how long are the music on there? Like the length?
About 30. I try to keep it about like 30 minutes to an hour. But there are a couple that are like maybe like 2 hours, you know. But those are like kind of more, way more experimental. And each album is more an experiment in genres mixed with kind of funk. Sweet. In a way. But I have a comedy album in a way. I think my 54th album.
Was a comedy album?
It's called Laugh. And what I did was basically I took all of the recorded sets that I had done through stand-up and improv. And I cut out all the jokes. So it's only the laughs. And it's in real time. And so like, it's just like...
So it's like a chronicle of laughters.
Yeah. And so like they just build over time. And then I also have them looping in the background. And so it grows into this cacophony of laughter. And then at the halfway point, it reverses and it goes like backwards.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome.
It's a pretty unique and fun idea. And it's just like a 30-minute track. So it's just like, even though it's an album, it's just like one continuous thing.
So you just live it on play and just let it roll.
Yeah.
So what's the most successful one that's done well out of all the albums?
Out of all my albums, the Education, which I think is like my 70th album or up there,
It got the most streams?
It has almost paid for itself in royalties.
Really?
And that was $90 to worldwide publish. And so it's almost, I think I'm at like $75 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, things are going all right. Last year, my music played in 130 countries out of like 160. So like
on worldwide. Spotify?
Yeah. No, on everything. On Spotify, yeah. But like if you include like everything, I may have even hit worldwide, like every single country in 2021.
That's awesome, man.
It's insane. And so my goal is to like just keep that ball rolling and do what I'm doing now, redistribute that wealth and success. And like, if I can figure out how to do these things and, you know, quote unquote, make it, like, that's what I want to try to help other people do, you know? And so it is, it's a fantastic journey. It's definitely difficult, but like, I mean, here I am today and things are still going decently, you know, that ball is rolling. It definitely took time and effort, you know, but if you stick with it, like, I mean, I can show as myself as proof, like things pick up.
Yeah, but that's a testament to you, man. 76 albums, my God.
That's insane. Yeah.
That's a lot. I only have two and I thought I'd fucking did something.
I just would like, with music, like there was just a time in my life where it was just like, I just want to make so much music. And like, I would just sit at the computer and make music, you know? And then like, I'd finish some albums I've written in like a night. Like, I've completed and I just stay up all night and make an album, you know? And so, again, like, the genre of music I'm making is kind of about expanding the belief of what music is. And so it's not all, like, singles, like, hit singles and stuff or manufactured stuff that it's going to play on the radio. Like, these are things that, like, are kind of more soundscapes that, like, are something that might get stuck in your head and then it expands on that. And so that's what I really find unique about like talking to people about my music, because like they're like, it really is different. And that's the goal, is to like make something unique and inspire others to create, you know, because music can be anything. It's just like, all you have to do is do it. And like, that's what I did. I just went out and I was like, I'm tired of waiting, because I always wanted to be in a band. And so I finally just went out and did it myself.
The young shit, yeah.
All right, cool. Any last things to say?
Yeah, no, just add on what you just said, man. Just, you got to do it yourself, man. Sometimes you got to do, because I mean, with my comedy album, I mean, I think when I did my first album 5 years ago, it opened the door for a lot of stuff. Like, literally, I felt like my comedy changed 5 years ago till now. People started looking at me more with respect.
Yeah, because you had that credentials.
Yeah. And it's just like crazy. Like, literally, I start adding more credits to my fucking bio. Now I could put iHeartRadio on my bio. I could put Spotify on my bio. I could obviously put, you know, just stuff that is credentialed that you can actually literally find me on. And Pandora and stuff like that. So it's helping my bio. So my bio is looking more professional. I don't have a TV credit yet, but hopefully one day I'll get that. But yes, doing those stuff and obviously dropping the second album, that was went nuclear, because people was like, holy shit,
he's doing it.
You're doing it again. And so many comics have hit me up and said, hey man, you're inspiring me to do my own album now.
Yeah.
Because I'm showing people like, look, you have to wait for this magical manager to say, hey, let's put you in the studio. You could do your own and do it. And now people are following suit, and I'm happy about that. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a great feeling to be able to inspire others.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, again, where can people follow you, support you?
You can find me on all social media sites. Type in Ku, first name, K-U, last name, E-G-E-N-T-I. And you could follow me, at Ku Egenti. Follow me.
And PayPal, Cash App, Venmo?
PayPal, it's not PayPal too long. Do Venmo. Venmo is at Ku, K-U, dash, E-G-E-N-T-I, and Cash App is $ Ku Egenti.
All right, cool. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure, buddy.
All right, until next time.
Bing, bing, bing.